Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas and Epiphany sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll thank you with a CD of one of Todd's Christmas and Epiphany sermons.
Are you sure you're 18?
Why, do I look older?
Edmund, you're supposed to be helping me with the groceries.
Better luck next time, eh, Squirt?
Squirt? I'm a king.
Not in this world.
Listen, have you seen this ship before?
It's very Narnian looking, isn't it?
What's going on here?
Edmund, the painting!
Stop, Princess! No!
Welcome. You have come far, but your journey lies beyond.
Rikishi!
Your Majesties!
So if there are no wars to fight, then why are we here?
You are all about to be tested.
Edmund, I can make you my king, and much more.
A little bit of The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, a movie opened this last weekend. Of course, the third in the film adaptation of the famous Chronicles of Narnia books by the same name. Joining us to talk about this movie, how it compares with the books, and especially its Christian symbolism, and what may get lost sometimes in the course of adapting these things to film, Dr. Gene Edward Veith. He's professor of literature and provost at Packer Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. He's author of several books, including Reading Between the Lines, A Christian Guide to Literature, and State of the Arts. Dr. Veith, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be with you again.
I'd like your response first to reviews of the films, the Narnia films up to this point, not this film that we'll be talking about, Voyage of the Dawn Treader. In particular, recently in Touchstone Magazine, Stephen Boyer says that the films are kind of tending to undermine Lewis's Christian hierarchical worldview, shifting from a focus on Aslan as the center of all things to perhaps the children and their stories as the center of all things. He says, to be sure, Aslan is quite helpful along the way, but he is no longer the center, and that's big news if we are thinking about Lewis's Christian worldview. Do you share those concerns about the film adaptations up to this point?
Well, I think maybe that's a little overstated. Film is a genre unto itself, and there are limits to what a film can do in showing, you know, the meaning and hierarchies in existence. It's kind of difficult to show visually. I think that one did not deal with Voyage of the Dawn Treader. I think that the first movie was fairly successful in having kind of an Aslan-centric worldview, if you would like, in this strange world that's posited. Prince Caspian, though, I think was a big disappointment. Not just the hierarchical worldview, but Christianity in general was really subordinated to the desire to make a conventional teenage action flick with a teenage romance and lots of fighting and wars, and the whole themes of Lewis were just thrown out. Dawn Treader comes kind of somewhere in between. It does have the Christian themes of Lewis. It does have the characters. It changes the plot a little bit in ways that I don't think are really harmful to Lewis's original story. At the same time, there are some things that made me feel unsatisfied with it.
Well, when we come back, we'll find out some of those things from Dr. Gene Edward Veith. We're doing a review of The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, an adaptation of the famous C.S. Lewis novel. It's part of the Chronicles of Narnia series. It's Monday afternoon, December the 13th. Dr. Veith is professor of literature and provost at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia, author of several books, including Reading Between the Lines, A Christian Guide to Literature, and State of the Arts. When we come back, there are things lost in the medium, aren't they? Sometimes things maybe are best left as books. But these books, the Chronicles of Narnia, are attempting to tell fantastic stories, that is, fantasy, fantastic stories that teach eternal truth, the very heart of the Christian faith, in fact. We'll talk more about that with Dr. Gene Edward Veith. A special thanks to Pastor Mark Braden and Zion Lutheran Church in Detroit, Michigan. They're part of the Issues Etc. 300. I was just talking yesterday with someone who's asking about the Issues Etc. 300, this group of congregations that sponsor Issues Etc. in their annual budget at $1,000 or more. We have a lot of congregations that do this. We always need more. Your congregation should consider joining the Issues Etc. 300 as well. Make Issues Etc. part of your annual budget. You can find out how to do that and find a really easy way to explain to your congregation what the Issues Etc. 300 is all about. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, click support, and you'll find there a one-page flyer. You can download it, you can print it off, and you can take it to your pastor, and he can take it to your congregation, or you can take it directly to your congregation and ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300 as well. Issuesetc.org, click support, find that one-page flyer. It'll tell you and your congregation everything you need to know about the Issues Etc. 300. Thanks to all the congregations that support us that way, and please consider asking your congregation to do the same. When we come back, more with Dr. Gene Edward Veith on the movie The Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church. Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
An interesting case in Ohio.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Dominic Holt Reed is facing attempted murder charges in Ohio. His crime? He forced his 3 months pregnant girlfriend at gunpoint to drive to an abortion clinic and seek an abortion. However, before the procedure started, the girlfriend succeeded in slipping a note to a clinic employee explaining the situation. The employee called the police, and Holt Reed was arrested. Thanks to Ohio's 1996 fetal homicide law, Holt Reed is now facing charges that he attempted to murder his unborn child. There has never been a case like this one. The verdict could set an important precedent.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Can you believe it? We're just 13 days away from Christmas Day. We have a perfect stocking stuffer for your young child or your grandchild. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December. The Shepherds Shook in Their Shoes. It's a children's book, a picture book, retelling the story, according to Luke, of Christ's birth. The Shepherds Shook in Their Shoes. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Or give Concordia Publishing House a call and order The Shepherds Shook in Their Shoes, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, The Shepherds Shook in Their Shoes. We're reviewing the movie The Voyage of the Dawn Treader that opened over the weekend. Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest, professor of literature and provost at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia, author of several books, including Reading Between the Lines, A Christian Guide to Literature, and State of the Arts. Dr. Veith, you said before the break that you found some aspects of the film adaptation of The Voyage of the Dawn Treader less than satisfying. You saw it over the weekend. What were those parts that didn't quite satisfy you?
Well, again, I think it's partly the difficulties of the medium. I mean, when you read a book, things are happening inside your mind. And when you read Voyage of the Dawn Treader, you know, it's about a voyage to all of these wonderful and strange islands and all the different adventures. And it creates a certain feeling of wonder and transcendence. In the movie, much of that was reproduced, but that feeling I got from the Narnia Chronicles, from The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, which has always been one of my favorites of the series, that was missing. And I think it was because with modern special effects, everything is so literal. Everything is so hard-edged. Whereas in real fantasy, there's got to be kind of the soft edges, the things you're not sure about, to open up the wonder and mystery, which then Lewis does such a great job of relating ultimately to Christianity. But in a special effects-driven movie, it was just too kind of heavy and ponderous compared to what I would get from the book.
The story is of the children returning to Narnia and setting sail on this ship, the Dawn Treader, visiting various places on their way to Aslan's land. Mm-hmm. In terms of the Christian theme, where would you draw parallels there? What is, if you will, the corollary, perhaps intended, perhaps not, by Lewis himself, but for Christian teaching, Christian life there?
Well, the theme of a journey that begins in this world and it ends in another world, it ends in heaven, that's been a staple of literature really from the beginning, and it's also a great Christian symbol. It's the pilgrimage. We go through life, and life is like a journey, and we are headed somewhere, and Christians know where we're going. A lot of the contemporary versions of that, they'll have a pilgrimage of journey as a metaphor for life, but it's aimless. They go from one place to another, they go back and forth, they go hither and yonder, but there's no destination. And then the great Christian stories like John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, for the simplest one, there are many others. A Christian's life is a journey that ends in Christ's country. And in the book, that's very clear, as you have characters like Reepa Cheep, who's one of the best parts of the movie, by the way, this mouse, this talking mouse, his yearning to find Aslan's country, and finally he attains it. Now everyone else, some of them sail back. It's not time for them to go yet into Aslan's country, but Reepa Cheep gets in his little boat and heads in that direction. And it's really a very powerful scene because it evokes really the journey that all of us are on, really.
You mentioned earlier Pilgrim's Progress, which depicted the life of the Christian as essentially a moral journey in a lot of ways, or a virtuous journey, if you will. How is Lewis's picture, if we can kind of hold the Christian symbolism and tension here for a moment, how is it different from that?
Well, first of all, I think Bunyan's has a lot of Christian. He was very influenced, oddly enough, by Luther. That's how he became a Christian, hearing Luther's commentary on Galatians. So a lot of those battles he faces are things against Mr. Morality and against legalism and trying to go up Mount Sinai, which turns into a big volcano rather than the path to the celestial city. But C.S. Lewis, there's always a scene pretty much in the Narnia Chronicles, including this one, of redemption. And in here's how it is in the book, and I'll tell you how that was changed in the movie in a way that's kind of much less satisfying. In the book, a key character is Eustace, who's this obnoxious product of modern education, who doesn't believe in anything that he can't see, and who becomes a comical figure then when he's in this world of talking animals and the like. But he's very obnoxious and unlikable. And in the book, he gets so obnoxious and unlikable that he turns in on himself, and through a series of events, he turns into a dragon. When he turns into a dragon, though, Lewis takes us inside his mind and in his unhappiness and his isolation, and we see a real repentance in him. But then Aslan comes to this boy dragon. Using his claws, he tears that dragon nature right out of Edmund, and it hurts and it's painful. And then Aslan, he's put into a pool of water, which is beautiful baptismal imagery, the way Lewis describes it. And he comes out of the water a new person, but he's changed. Now he's a human being. Now he's a boy. Now he starts acting in a way that contributes to everyone, and he's received into the community and becomes later a hero. So Aslan changes Eustace by contacting him, by putting his paw on him and really remaking him. Now, in the movie, you have a great Eustace, comes across well, turns into a dragon, but the movie has him do all kinds of great deeds as a dragon. Now that he's a dragon, he can help save the ship, and he breathes fire against the enemies, and Eustace becomes a hero. And then Aslan changes him back. And again, it kind of is like, okay, first you become good, and then you're redeemed. It's kind of a reward for that. It's kind of the way it seemed, although I realized the real reason is that in a movie, if you're going to go to all the expense to make a special effects dragon, you've got to do some things with it in the story. And I suspect that was the real motive. But the other thing I was disappointed in with that pivotal scene is that Aslan doesn't touch him. Aslan is looking at him. He's kind of pawing the ground, and there's a transformation. Whereas in Lewis's version, it's so much in accord with what we Lutherans understand. It's a real present. Christ touches us. I mean, in our sacramental sense of the word and the sacrament and baptism. There was no baptism at all in the movie version. So, but there was a redemption there, and the general elements there, but the details were kind of unsatisfying. And you kind of see that throughout. One good thing about the movie was that it had a very important line from the Narnia Chronicles, maybe the most important in the whole series, where Aslan explains, you know, the children have to leave Narnia and go back to Earth, and some of them won't be coming back again. And Aslan says that in your world, I'm known by another name, and that you have to know me, you have to get to know me by that name. And of course, he's making the symbolism pretty explicit that you have to know me as Jesus, not just this lion, but you have to know me as Jesus Christ. And then he says in the movie, I think this is in the book, that the reason I brought you to Narnia is so that you can know me better by that name in your world. And so when you go into Narnia by reading the books and the like, the ideas, you get to know Jesus better by understanding freshly what he did for you. So I was glad that was in the movie. But again, it was just kind of unsatisfying by the way they got there.
All right. When we come back, we'll have more of our review of The Voyage of the Dawn Treader with Dr. Gene Edward Veith, professor of literature and provost at Patrick Henry College in Percival, Virginia, author of several books, including Reading Between the Lines, A Christian Guide to Literature, and State of the Arts. How would you like to win the entire 18-book Christmas library of Archbooks for Children? They have 18 children's books in Archbooks. You can become a new member of our annual or monthly giving program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, or upgrade your current membership before December 22nd. Your name's going to be added to a drawing, and the winner will receive an entire set of the Christmas Archbooks for Children by Concordia Publishing House. We'll announce the winner on Tuesday, December the 22nd. That's the deadline. So by that time, join or upgrade your current membership in the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Here's how you do it. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, or you can call Craig, 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. 8382. Ask for Craig. Tell him you'd like to join or upgrade your current membership in the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Your name will be entered for the drawing on the 22nd of December. You might win the entire 18-book Christmas library of Arch books for children. When we come back, I remember the first time I saw the first Narnia film. I had this picture in my mind of this lion, Aslan, as he is. And when I saw Aslan, I was a little disappointed, but it had nothing to do with how well they rendered the lion in CGI. It was something else. We'll talk with Dr. Veith about that after this.
The shepherds' hearts were full of fear. They shook right in their shoes. But then the angel called to them, "Fear not, I've got good news." Words from the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, a children's book, The Shepherds Shook in Their Shoes. You can find out more about this great stocking stuffer at issuesetc.org. Or you can purchase The Shepherds Shook in Their Shoes and other great Christmas arch books for children by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Christmas and one for Epiphany, and we'll send you this new CD for any size year-end donation. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size gift before the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Christmas and Epiphany sermons.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support. Equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday afternoon, December the 13th. 10 more minutes with Dr. Gene Edward Veith reviewing the movie The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Dr. Veith, before the break I mentioned the first time I'd seen Aslan in the film adaptation, I was a little disappointed, and it had nothing to do with how well the lion was rendered in CGI or any of those kinds of things. It, I think, had more to do with the fact that the medium in this case is the message.
It is. And again, there's a reason why as Christians we have the Word. And in fact, of course, the prophets contrast knowing God by means of His Word, by means of language, as opposed to by means of a graven image. And again, yes, these are false gods and idols. But Neil Postman, the great media writer and critic, wrote about this, that there is something different in approaching God through language as opposed to just an image of God. Because images are always at arm's length. They're always separate from us. Whereas words are very close to us, and they play in our own minds and our hearts. It's interesting. Lewis wrote something about this very phenomena. He talked about how it's hard to do fantasy on a stage play, or he said a movie, because of these very things we're talking about. He did say at one point that some movies come close, and he mentioned Snow White, the Disney version, is a movie that actually was a pretty good representation of the whole fairy tale sense, and with its sort of strange, scary parts. I think in the hands of a really good movie maker, I think The Lord of the Rings was a fairly successful fantasy movie. drawing on a great fantasy novel.
But, you know, there was less at stake there, Dr. Veith. I mean, it was, in a way, even though it was a much bigger blockbuster in terms of its draw, no one was looking for, there was no Asland, really, in that story.
Yeah, that's right.
And there was certainly hints, but I was just going to say, it was almost a blueprint. I mean, taken straight out of my mind, but... something about the explicitly Christian elements of Lewis just don't seem to work that way.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are two levels. There's a film depicting fantasy, and then there's an even bigger challenge of a film depicting the Christian faith, which by definition is about things not seen. And there are some movies that do a good job with the Christian faith. I'm teaching a film class. Babette's Feast is a good one, using sacramental imagery, using symbols, using human beings going through a spiritual confrontation with Christ. There are some films that do that, but it's very hard. Yeah, I think the Chronicles of Narnia movies are trying to work with symbols in that way, but they just fall a little short. Maybe a different director or something would make it a little bit more satisfying. But in the meantime, you know, I think we don't necessarily need to criticize the movies just for falling kind of short of what may be kind of impossible for them to achieve.
A couple of final questions for you, Dr. Veith. We spoke with a guest recently about the film, and he said that Lewis was consciously working off of, or working against, so to speak, the Odyssey, Homer's famous story, and trying to do in Dawn Treader what, in a Christian way, perhaps, what Homer was doing in a very pagan way. There you've got Odysseus literally being tossed back and forth by the gods and the whims of the gods. Yeah. So what different is going on in Voyage of the Dawn Treader than something like that?
Well, I don't know that Lewis would be against in any way had the Odyssey or even compare his work to that magnificent epic. But I think that's an interesting point about the world views. Certainly, Odysseus, he does have a goal, but he's trying to get home. He's out. He's been fighting the Trojan War, and he goes through all of these things trying to get back to home and back to a normal ordinary human life, and that's what makes that such an interesting work beyond all the mythology and the like. But the Dawn Treader, it's a journey really into transcendence, I suppose, because it's going past the known world, going out farther and farther to the ends of the earth, and finally to draw near to Aslan's country. And so it's a more of a transcendent, a movement from this world to another world, whereas Odysseus is sort of going from this world back to this world.
What other Christian elements would you highlight for our listeners when they go to see Voyage of the Dawn Treader?
One theme that the movie brings out, in a way maybe more explicitly than the book, is the theme of temptation. The children are warned on each island they will face different temptations, and they will be tempted according to their deepest desires. And you don't hear many movies warning about temptation, and that was kind of refreshing, I thought, and kind of interesting, because Lucy wanted to be beautiful, and so her temptations were on wanting to be more like her sister than about herself. And Edmund wanted to be the one in charge all the time. That element of, again, it's more of a moral element, but that was another theme of the movie that's kind of interesting. Again, the final reunion with Aslan, I think, was pretty well done, although I agree with what you said about it's sort of anticlimactic when you see Aslan apart from the sort of numinous mystery of the books managed to achieve. That speech that he gives, that you have to know me in your world under another name, I think that would be a good bridge for parents to start talking about that and to help talk to their children about Jesus, and to show that what Aslan is depicting very faintly is something that's real and rich and powerful in Christ. that can lead to some good conversations.
What did you think about the film's depiction of Aslan's country?
Well, it didn't really depict Aslan's country. In fact, they come to the end of the world, and I guess the world is flat. Even though Lewis wrote a lot about medieval cosmology, about the world being round and all. But anyway, they come to the end, and they see Aslan. It's like a big beach. And they ask, is this Aslan's, is this your country? And he said, no, actually, it's farther along. It's farther past. And there was sort of a wall of water that they had to go through to reach Aslan's country. And Reepa Cheep at the end gets in his little coracle and starts sailing over that. It stops short of showing Aslan's country. Again, in Bunyan, the very last, there's a celestial city, but first you have to pass through the waters, and the waters are the waters of death. And I kind of saw that in the depiction, but they did not show Aslan's country. It was just all a beach, Aslan staying there, but then pointing to what's beyond. And it was probably more effective to do it that way than to try to show us something that would probably inevitably fall short.
Finally, then, what do you think C.S. Lewis would have to say if he could see The Voyage of the Dawn Treader?
It's hard for me to imagine Lewis giving his permission to have his works filmed like that. He didn't really like film or drama, and like I said, he wrote about kind of the limits of it. So if he were to see this, I think he would say that you got the characters right, you got the plot mostly right, you changed it around with this green mist and other things, but that's okay, you can do that. You even have my themes right. But what's missing is a sense of fantasy and wonder and transcendence that I tried to evoke in my book. And in a way, that's maybe the most important parts of the book. And that you just missed or failed to achieve in the movie version.
Folks, you can read Dr. Gene Edward Veith's review of Voyage of the Dawn Treader under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Gene Edward Veith is provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Percival, Virginia. He's author of several books, including Reading Between the Lines, A Christian Guide to Literature, and State of the Arts. Dr. Veith, thank you.
Okay, my pleasure.
It is kind of ironic that I remember reading those books for the first time and thinking, you always do, when you grow up in the 70s and 80s, you see these books and you think, wow, I wish they could make this into a movie. And then finally, someday, they have the technology actually to bring the images depicted in a book like this, the fantastic images, to the big screen. You could see them. But something always is lost, I think. It's true that the medium is the message. It's ironic that even when we can depict them on film, maybe just because we can doesn't mean we should. Maybe they're better left on the page. Maybe a lot of things are better left on the written page. Some stories, and in the end, that's what we're really talking about here, some stories must be retold. I've always found it fascinating that C.S. Lewis, in telling a story about a mythical world completely different from the one that we inhabit, with talking animals and strange occurrences and wars and power plays that have nothing to do with the world, the real world we live in, couldn't help but tell that story over and over and over again. Even in the world of fantasy, the story of redemption, the story of a savior, the story of a sacrifice made to save the world continued to come through. It's the best story there is. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.